When it comes to living your dream life, the first step is not creating the change. The first step isn't even deciding what actions you need to take to get the change. The first step is actually figuring out what it is that you want in life. And that's a big step, and it's a place that a lot of people either skip over or get stuck. And maybe that's you. But the thing is, if you don't take the time to actually figure out what it is you truly want from the beginning, you actually end up wasting 100 times more time and energy going down a road that you aren't even meant to be on. Welcome to Change Made Easy. Changing your habits, routines, behaviors, and beliefs is hard. We make it easy. I'm Paul Levitin, a board-licensed coach who has been working with people just like you to create positive change in their habits and routines for over a decade. Robin Sharma said, "Change is hard at first, messy in the middle, and gorgeous at the end." If you want to create the positive change you're after, it starts from the beginning. Not knowing yourself is like trying to find a needle in a haystack through a dense fog. But when you know and understand yourself and your desires, it reveals the path that you're meant for. It's that simple. Now, let's make it easy. Edith B. Kiss is a healer who, after burning the candle at both ends for years in her career as an engineer, ended up burned out and overwhelmed. And after 15 years in the field, she decided to leave and completely remap and re-envision her life. That's when she began to focus on healing herself first, which led to investigating the deeply held trauma that was holding her back. After seeing the change that this allowed for in her own life, she dedicated her life to helping others heal by sharing her knowledge about trauma healing, ancestral karma, habit building, and more. Today, we talk about the effects of trauma, getting out of cycles of self-sabotage, finding fulfillment, and why adding force actually tends to lead to more resistance. And make sure you listen up to Edit's 5-step model for finding fulfillment. It is one of the best tools that I've been given by a guest in a long time. And with that, here is my conversation with Edith B. Kiss. How do you define a fulfilling life?
I can explain mine right now. So basically, I don't have an alarm clock. And I love it. I wake up whenever I want or whenever I feel. And so it's just, I look out of the window and it's raining outside and I was like, yeah, I don't need to go out. It's so amazing. So it's basically having a life when you can live on your own terms, right? And then when you have some, and people probably heard about the 6 human needs, right? And then if you look at these 6 human needs, how is it add together in your personal life and in your relationships or in your career, you can take it into a part that, like, you have certainty. Yes, you have certainties, like you have your home to sleep, you know, you have your food, your incomes, and then you have the uncertainty as well, which brings you surprises, brings you excitement, what you need to have in life. And then that comes from other people, comes from different resources, basically. And then you have the contribution. Can you contribute to people? And I have that in my life a lot. You know, I can contribute to my children, I can contribute to my loved ones, for my clients. So that's also tick that box. Feeling significant. You know, you can feel significant just by some person look at you, the way how they look at you or how they interact with you. That's already makes you significant. So we don't need to think about like big things, you know, like huge things. You can be feeling fulfilled from little things here and there can make you already fulfilled. And the other thing that can come of the growth, like, are you able to grow in your life? And then that's easy every day. Just do something different, you know, just do something outside of your comfort zone. You're already growing. So that's also easy to implement. And that's also adding to your fulfillment and the intimacy, right? The physical connections. So basically that's, for me, is my children. which I have connection with. And then the connection can be also not intimacy or physical, but have with other people as well, like through Zoom, like having connection, like understanding, having the network which is aligned with you, the vibe, you know, the tribe is your vibe. If you have like those kind of tribe around you, which always supporting you and there for you, that's amazing. So a fulfilled life, I believe that having that network, that support from others is very important. And it's so funny because I always see that my clients become my friends and my friends are also my business partners. So it's like, I don't have a line between like, who are my friends or who are my students or clients, because kind of like mixing it together, like these people become such a strong support in many areas. And we actually build a nice community together, or we actually support each other in many ways. So it's sometimes it's not so strict, these lines. So I think the network and other people is very important for fulfillment and basically living on your own terms, having loved ones around you, and the health. The health is the other biggest thing which I recall, because I went through also physical and mental issues for many years. And then you just cannot be fulfilled if you are not physically healthy. And then now I'm in the space where I feel very strong. I'm so strong, I can lift my daughter and she's my weight, basically, you know, like 50 kilos like me. And then it wasn't possible for me a year ago, you know? So it's like, you're growing continually, you're building up yourself always. So it's never an ending of elevation, never an ending of becoming a better person, but fulfilled. You can have that fulfillment with little things as well.
So great. So many pieces that I would love to expand on. I love that you brought up the six human needs there. And my question then, with so many different pieces that we can focus on, where do you see as a place to start to create this fulfilled life? Because I think that everyone wants fulfillment. I don't think anyone would turn that down if we could offer it to them. So when you're starting with a client, or you're starting with a friend, or you're just having coffee with a friend and you want to give them, where's the place to start to help move people in this direction? Hey, real quick. We'll be back to the show in just a few seconds, but right now I just have to tell you about my free weekly newsletter. If you want to join the thousands of change seekers just like you who get a curated list each week of 5 educational, informative, and inspiring pieces of content to help you on your quest for change, then click the link in the notes that says free newsletter right now. You'll get signed up for free tips that will make your change journey easier, sent straight to your inbox every Friday. All you have to do is click free newsletter in whatever app you're listening on. Okay, now back to the show.
So the funny thing is that everybody is so unique. Everybody is so different. So these six human needs is not the same percentage in every part. Like someone requires more variation to feel fulfilled. Someone requires more intimacy to feel fulfilled. Someone requires more certainty to feel fulfilled. So I think it's like really unique to everyone. Like what part of this is actually you feel like you need the most of to feel happy. And that's what the part what you need to create more in your life. So that's what you need to focus on to create more in your life. And of course, you can be proactive by it to taking action towards it. And then I always say that be a people person. Again, I'm bringing it up again. So basically, everything what you wish for or everything you want to accomplish or live through is through people. You need people to be happy. You need people to be successful. You need people for everything. So until you're not getting out of your shell and not start to trust others, you're not going to be fulfilled. You need to start. Most of the people is because they go through betrayal, they go through heartache, all of those things. Sometimes they close down themselves. You know, sometimes they like not open for opportunities or other like love or anything what comes their way from other people because they are scared. You know, they are fearful, they worry about their future. So until they don't allow themselves to be receiving again, they won't have that fulfillment. So I think the first step what they should work on is their trust, you know, and then also opening their heart, opening themselves up for other people to come closer to them, to trust them again, to accept what they want to give you. And then you can actually start to reciprocate it, you know, give back and so on and so forth. But that's, I think, the most, the first thing what they should do.
Yeah, it's a great point about trust there. And I love that you said that it's unique to the individual. Just like in the beginning when I asked you what is fulfillment, and you said, well, I can say what it is for me because that's your thing. It might not be someone else's thing. And then trust, like you said, there's so much of this that's social, so much about other people, and with other people we grow, and when we grow, other people grow, and all of that stuff goes together. But there's also a level of self-trust and knowledge of self, because like you just said, we have these six human needs, but they're in different percentages and different proportions for each person. So I'm curious if you have a activity or something that you take your clients through to help them figure out which place is important to me. If I've never heard of any of this stuff before, how do I know which of the human needs are the things that I need to focus on?
Yes. So of course I have a conversation with them. I'm finding out like what they are struggling with, and the solution is within us, basically. The solution and the answers are within us. And then how we actually connect also to our higher self, how we actually download guidance from the other side, that's also important, because that's also part of us, because we are multidimensional beings, basically. So not just this physical part. So what I encourage them to do is to start meditating, to start connecting to their higher self, to opening up also the third eye chakra, because that's what allows this trust, you know, that's what allows not just trusting in people, but trusting in the divine guidance as well. And this allow them, as it opens up, it's allow them to actually bring in more intuition, bring in more guidance, bring in more, how can I say, that's like vision. And as it comes into them, that's how they're going to get less fear and less worry, because that's going to show them more their purpose, what they actually believe in to happen to them, if they work towards it. So that's my first thing, what I actually start doing with them, like recommend them to do daily meditation, basically tune into their energies and waiting for this guidance, you know, to coming in and see themselves, like what is fulfilling for them, because they're going to find that. They're going to find them in themselves.
Completely agree. We have all the answers within us. I say often that knowledge of self is a meta skill, maybe the ultimate skill that will help us along any journey of creating change, whether it's in our health, our wealth, our relationships, our personal growth. We have to know what works for us, what we like, what we enjoy, what we want. And so often people don't even know that. And when we start to realize that all the answers are within ourselves, to me, that means that the only thing that can stop me is also myself, which would be self-sabotage. So I'm curious, why do you think people get stuck in these cycles of self-sabotage? Why do people hold themselves back if everything is within themselves?
Yeah, the first thing is because they don't know that everything is within themselves, obviously, yes. And the second is that this is everything happening in subconscious level, you know. So in conscious level, they are might making up the amazing plan, you know, for themselves. They are setting goals. They see already their visions in the conscious level. But in the subconscious level, they have limitations because of their environment, because of their family, because of their upbringing, because of the country, the society's expectations. So all of those things subconsciously can self-sabotage them, can limit them, you know, can keep them stuck. That could be one option, one way of looking at it. And the other thing can also block them or hold them back is some traumatic experiences, you know, which is also buried in the unconscious mind. So they are not aware of it. And it comes up as triggers. It comes up as negative emotions. And some people say like, oh, I am just this kind, you know, I'm just the person who got reactions, you know, for certain things. And then they don't bother to look deeper, like why they are reacting, why they are feeling sometimes negative emotions. And that's because they have a root in traumas, what wasn't like a traumatic experience, but it could have been like a, even an innocent memory, which become a trauma, and because they reacted to it as a child with negative emotions. And that can have a huge effect on how they actually attracting to the, in these days, what they attract into their life as triggers. And as soon as they release those traumas, those triggers gonna stop in that area of their life. And then they're gonna become more resilient and more, much stronger emotionally. And they can start actually align also their subconscious beliefs with the conscious thoughts and conscious decisions and create the life they want. So this is really powerful.
I want to dig into both of those a little bit, but specifically on trauma first. How do you define trauma? Because I feel like trauma, especially today, is a buzzword. It's thrown around all the time. People talk about trauma. Everything is traumatizing. There's a lot of talk about people being victims and things like that. But I mean, we know that trauma is real. But what constitutes a trauma? And how do we know if it's something that is we need to deal with, if it's something traumatic that happened to us, or if it's just something that happened, that's just life?
So basically, if it's really like if someone has PTSD, they obviously know that they had a traumatic experience, which is still affecting them because they're thinking about it, it's bothering them emotionally, physically, it's keep them in a very bad space. So that's very, that's in awareness, right? But sometimes people don't know if they had a trauma, but they can know it through triggers. So as I explained it, so as the trigger is coming and they start reacting to triggers, that means they have a trauma. That's why they are reacting. So that, but the trauma can be actually innocent memory. So I had a client with panic attacks. And then when we actually checked what was the trauma related to this panic attack, it was an innocent memory when she was a child sitting with the grandparents watching TV inside. And she just wanted to go outside play in the sun, but she couldn't because she had to stay inside with the grandparents. And basically it's created negative emotions such as being unsupported, being limited, being... I don't know, like behold, you know, like these kind of negative emotions came up to her as a child. And then later when COVID happened, it's amplified for her again and got triggered again. And then again happened something to her, it triggered it again, and then it became panic attack. So basically when there is an experience, there is a something happens to us, which we answer with, react with negative emotions, it's got buried in the unconscious mind. And then it's gonna amplify it every time a trigger comes again with the same emotions, and then it's piling up and becomes a mental or physical illness or any other situation which is like struggle.
That makes a lot of sense, and I always appreciate those type of examples because it highlights that these things are not what a lot of people assume trauma to be, a car accident, a burglary, or something crazy that happens. It can be the smallest thing that our subconscious mind holds onto, and that becomes amplified, and it only comes out. We don't even know that it's there. It's been there since this woman was a child, maybe 20, 30, 40 years. It's been sitting there dormant, and all of a sudden it gets shaken loose by something. And that's why this stuff can be so challenging when we especially talk about creating big life changes, because when we are doing things one way, the way that we've always done it, we're used to it and it's safe and it's secure. And then when we try to create a big change, which is changing our diet, changing our routines, changing our habits, changing our job or something like that, everything gets shaken up and things come to the top. Like you said, with COVID is a perfect example. How many people got thrown out of their routines and thrown off of their game, and things came up, traumas came up that they didn't even know existed. So how can people navigate these turbulent times when they're being triggered, when there's traumas coming up and things like that, and they're trying to find success? How do we make it that we can actually get to the place that we're trying to go, and we don't get derailed by the triggers or derailed by the dormant traumas that have been laying there for years?
Yeah, so I always recommend to my clients as soon as something triggering them and they're experiencing these negative emotions, they're feeling they are on the emotional roller coaster, to actually deal with it, to find the trauma in the unconscious mind and release it. The tool what I use is called source memory healing, and this also helps to become more resilient. So basically what is happening as you go through these healings, you're going to see that you're going to be less and less reactive. You're going to be more and more resilient, more peaceful, more calm, and then eventually you hardly get triggered. So you're going to have a very smooth ride, I would say, after that. So, and then it's, as I said, it's also a prevention for other diseases. So as soon as you realize that mentally is something heavy, or, you know, emotionally is something heavy, to go in and clear it, because otherwise it can become a cancer, a diabetes, a heart attack, or anything else.
Yeah, so important to catch these things. Like you said, sometimes we can catch them when it's just a heavy thought before it spirals into something bigger. What does it mean to burn the candle at both ends?
It's basically when you work too much, you overwhelm yourself, you know, you actually getting into burnout. Is basically you don't see how you can mitigate your work alcoholic lifestyle, or your when they say, like, for example, if you don't have 20 minutes to meditate, you have to start meditating. So basically burning the candle in both ends means like you haven't implemented a healthy lifestyle. You're just throwing out yourself there full steam, like a steam engine, and then you're just doing it until you drop dead, you know, at the end of the day. So some people does that. Some people say like, oh, when they started their career, or when they started their entrepreneur lifestyle or whatever, they tend to work like 80 hours weeks, you know, or 14 hours days. I knew people like that, you know, and then I always kind of had to save them. So I had to tell them like, yeah, you need to start meditating. You need to start adding some breaks, you know, or like at least having better sleep, deep, more quality sleep, because that if they at least sleep the 8 hours or 7 hours and they're still working the whole day, I mean, it's at least a bit mitigated, but the deep sleep is also sometimes missing because they are so on the override that they also suffer from insomnia. And it's really bad because they need those hormones, you know, what is actually created in the body during deep sleep. And then the samadhi meditation, which I practice with my clients, the transcendental meditation, it also helps to boost those hormones. So it actually helps to give an extra boost if your sleep is not sufficient, but it can also help you to create a better sleeping routine as well.
You mentioned before patterns, and this is something that I find with clients, with just humans. We get stuck in the same patterns, and usually the pattern that we are stuck in will play out over and over and over. So someone will say, I'm always trying to diet and I never lose weight, and I try a new diet every year, or I'm always trying to go to the gym and it never works, or I'm always starting a new business and it never works. So how do you get people out of the patterns that they're stuck in?
So we can go back to the subconscious reprogramming. So basically to start saying affirmations, that's very powerful, that I can do this. I am meant to win. I am successful. You know, I know that I am powerful. I will be able to lose this weight, and so, or I'm already slim. So there is certain powerful affirmations. If you use daily, that's really, really good for keeping your actually your motivation and your discipline. Also, so basically checking on your habits and then choosing like, okay, I need to get rid of certain bad habits so I can actually start this change, but not to get rid of them at the same time, because then they're gonna might end up with failures, you know, or it's a too big step. So I would suggest just to do one step at a time, or just one changes at a time, and that's already giving them more feeling of, you know, wins or success in their transformational journey. So probably, so in their diet, first just quit the processed sugar, and then quit the, I don't know, white flour, or so, you know, something which is or heavy on them, or which is not healthy for them, you know, or quit alcohol, or just Yeah, so there are things which you can quit, but just one thing at a time, so that actually you can experience the results and the success. And it's the instant gratification what everybody wants, but it's not how it works. We need to give time for ourselves and the universe as well to actually bring you the results, because we are co-creators with the universe. We can actually play together with the universe. So I actually created a 5 steps method, which I also call the CREAM module. And the first step is the conscious decision. Make the decision that you actually want to change. Because some people are not even getting there to make that decision that I want the change. And then the second step is actually the subconscious reprogramming, as we talked about it, to reprogram the beliefs, changing habits. And the third one is the trauma release. And then the fourth is to get aligned with the universe, to start co-creating. And then when you already do these 4 steps, the fifth is easy, which is actually taking action. Because if you've done all the 4, then the 5th is going to be easier to take that action. So how you actually can align with the universe? Basically, it's through meditation. We already talked about this. And raising your vibration, how you raise your vibration, not just by meditation, but by doing things what you enjoy, or doing things which is helping to raise your vibration. For example, dancing, singing, you know, maybe doing something what you love, like whatever hobby you like, you know, do those things much more often to raise your vibration and keep your vibration high, and then to be in gratitude. Some people say like, oh, I have so much things I'm suffering from, how I can be in gratitude, because I know I'm supposed to be in gratitude because that's a very high vibration. So again, I recommend the meditation, because when you start practicing that samadhi meditation and you start producing more melatonin, oxytocin, growth hormone, and serotonin, basically those hormones help you to get into the gratitude vibration faster. So you don't need to really force it to happen. And then when it's about taking action, and many people think that they need to hustle, they need to force, but I don't know if it's good news or bad news, but basically putting force into things is actually can create resistance. So putting in more work with negative emotions such as, oh, I need to do this because I'm lacking, you know, or because I'm so having frustrated negative emotions around why you are forcing and hustling, that's actually creating resistance, and you is delaying whatever you want to reach. But if you actually, the first step is to actually accept your situation, be grateful with it. And as you accept it and you are grateful, still have the vision, still have the vision what you want to create, still have that wish, still have that thing, the big why, what is motivating you. But accept first your situation, because if you don't accept your situation, you are in negative vibration. You are always like fighting. You are always like, oh, I hate this. I hate that. I don't like this person. I don't like my job. You can't proceed from a space, and you can't accept the co-creative energy from the universe from a space when you hate, you know? So you need to change your perspective that, oh, I am cool with this job. I know it's not the best for me. I'm looking for something better, but no, I am really grateful to have this job. And actually I have somewhere to go. I'm receiving salary every month. This is pretty cool, because some people doesn't even have a work, you know? So if you are in that perspective and you are like, oh, I don't mind that my work, my work colleagues are maybe not the best people, but you know, I can accept it because I'm very grateful for my position, but I know I am destined for better and I'm working towards it. So have that balance, that accepting your situation and have a vision what you are working towards. You can't get there from hate or negative vibration.
What is the change that you want to see in the world?
Basically, everybody doing meditation, and then everybody's aware of it, that they can prevent their physical illness. You know, like if they start doing the source memory healing themselves, then they actually don't need to deal with physical illnesses anymore. They don't need to deal with struggles anymore. So that's my kind of my purpose or my vision, to bring this out to more people.
I love that. And we've talked about a lot today already. We've talked about the human needs, human condition. We've talked about trauma. I love your cream method and the whole breakdown there. There's so much, but I also know that when we get too much, sometimes we get overwhelmed and we end up doing nothing. So the last question I have for you is, if you had one action step that people could start with today to make the positive change they're trying to make in their life easier, what would your action step be?
Give themselves permission to rest. Like whenever they feel like overwhelmed, whenever they feel like they need some rest, just allow themselves to rest, because that resting time is actually their growth time. Because we are not always striving. We need the growth time, the resting time, to actually adjust, recuperate, and to start downloading. Because until you don't have the resting time, you can't connect. You can't have the right guidance. Until that, you are just controlled by your ego, controlled by your fears or desperation. But as soon as you allow yourself to rest and just be, because we are a human being, we are not a human doing, right? So when you allow yourself to rest and just be, you don't even need to start meditating now and doing my samadhi, what you can actually do for free from my YouTube channel. But basically, you can just rest and just be. And you will see how much things coming to you just naturally, some good ideas, some feeling good moments. I don't know. It's just start to happen to you, the acknowledging, and rest without actually feeling guilt or shame that you are resting.
Amazing. Thank you so much for this conversation, Edit. This was amazing. I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for being here. 1 interesting ride that was. I love how Edit weaves the tactical and the scientific that I love with the more spiritual stuff that I tend to find is a little bit more out there. While it might not be the most familiar, I think it's important to look at things from multiple viewpoints, including and especially ones we might not always or instantly agree with. My favorite thought is her cream model for cultivating your fulfilled life. If you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did, make sure you check out Edit's website and her social media, which I have linked in the show notes, and take that model for finding your fulfilled life and use it today and put it into action. That is change made easy. If you're really passionate about making this change stick, then I just have to remind you about my free weekly newsletter. Don't miss out on joining the thousands of change seekers just like you, who get a curated list each week of 5 educational, informative, and inspiring pieces of content that will help you on your quest for change. Go to the notes of whatever app you're listening on and click the link that says free newsletter now, and you'll be signed up to get free tips sent straight to your inbox every Friday that will help make your change journey easier. All you have to do is click free newsletter right now. Go to that link, and I'll see you back here every Tuesday and Thursday for new episodes of Change Made Easy.